This is Elocution with your host, Elo Black.
This episode is a throwback to a podcast we used to do called The World of Science with Dr. Hans Berger. I did this show with a very dear friend of mine who is a licensed member of the medical community. However, Dr. Hans Berger is fictitious. Viewer discretion and sensibility are advised. Well, I mean, listener discretion, unless you watch this on YouTube. Anyways, please enjoy, be well, and above all, wash your hands. Thanks, pals. Hello, and welcome to the COVID Catch-Up. I am your host, Genevieve Holcomb-Marcellus, and with me, as always, is the incredible, the amazing, brilliant, and ever devoted to our medical crisis right now, Dr. Hans Berger. Dr. Berger, thank you so much for being with us on the COVID Catch-Up.
Hello, and thank you for having me. It has been too long indeed. Hope everyone is well in this climate, in this 200-degree climate. Thank you for having me,
Absolutely. Dr. Berger, it's been a while since we've been able to talk. I understand you've been on the front lines, but let's go ahead and start with some stats. According to the CDC, this morning, September 6, 2020, there are officially 6,206,879 cases of COVID-19. And as of this morning, there have been total calculated 188,051 deaths.
Oh, that's a lot of deaths.
Dr. Berger, I am quite unnerved by the staggering numbers and also the fact that we are talking on a holiday weekend. This is Labor Day weekend. Is there a chance that the cases and the death toll will spike because of the holiday weekend?
Well, this is all dealing with the science of statistics. And we, of course, know anyone who has gone to school longer than 6 months from birth knows about statistics. And it could be very, very scary. It's just downright pitifully scary, these statistics. But, of course, we will go back to the Memorial Day weekend when the people wanted to go out and get naked in the beach. And what did they do? They went out and they got naked in the beach. And then as the summer approached, there were people going tubing in the Philadelphia or the Ohio or one of those states, somewhere where they have water, big water in the middle of big land, where they go and they shake their chests and they shake their bums, just in the namesake of American values. What do Americans value? Yes, the chest shaking and the booty bopping. So after this Labor Day weekend, which of course was never fought for, you know, by what do they call them, the unions, unions did not fight for the labor. This is the labor that talks about the women with the uterus expanded to the size of watermelons. That is why we labor on this day. Everyone, man, beast, angel, devil's baby, everybody supports the labor of the delivering uteri across America. But yes, I will say that this Labor Day weekend, we can perhaps see another spike before the winter comes. This will be one of the final summer spikes. So to answer your question, yes.
Dr. Berger, here at the COVID Catch-Up, we do have a voicemail for people to contact that have questions for you. I wanted to bring this phone call to your attention. Please listen and we'll discuss her questions.
Yeah, okay.
Beep.
Well, hello there, Mr. Berger, if that's your real name. I've got a couple questions for you. How are you going to make America great again, huh? I bet you don't even own a red hat. Mm-hmm. And also, what's up with this vaccine? I hear that there's one going to be ready by November 2nd. That's what Trump says right before it's time to vote. Well, he's got my vote. But he does. I mean, I don't even understand why we need a vaccine. My mama always gave us orange juice and baby aspirin. That fixed everything. I bet you never thought about that, did you? We could have been done with all this hullabaloo virus stuff a long time ago. We could have been out shopping and going to restaurants and partying on the beach if someone had just thought to give us orange juice and baby aspirin. Someone like you, Mr. Dr. Scientist.
Wow, Dr. Berger. Mm. Okay, first question. Do you own a red hat, sir?
Oh, yeah. It's all about the science of fashion. Yeah, I do. I own the best red hat that a colleague gave me on my move from Germany to the States that are united. And what it is, red hard hat, hat is hard, that they wear at the construction site. And the best thing about this red hat, there are beer holders, one on the left side and one on the right, with the straws coming from the beer, of course, because I'm drinking beer. I'm not drinking the hat. Drink this beer. I put one in the left and a dark one in the right, a pilsner perhaps as the light. And I drink this beer. That red hat made America great for me. It said, go on, drink an Oktoberfest as like Americans do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Berger, let's talk about her mother's prescription. It was baby aspirin and orange juice. I myself was quite frankly delighted that it wasn't cleanser or UV rays. How would taking baby aspirin and orange juice help combat COVID-19?
This is a very good question, and it all has to deal with the science of copulation. Because where do baby aspirin come from? It comes from the mama aspirin and the daddy aspirin. What you do is you combine the two into a little cup. You leave it overnight so that they can copulate and make the baby aspirin. And in this baby aspirin, there is the fetal tissue, or what they call the stem cells. The stem cells, pardon me. So these stem cells, they are in two pill form from mama aspirin and daddy aspirin. And what the orange juice does, and the orange juice activates the stem cells of this baby aspirin, and that helps combat the virus. Because as we all know with the science of virology, that viruses are very not immune to stem cells from baby aspirin. 81 milligrams of baby aspirin will destroy all the virus in the world. She does prove a point, perhaps not the point that I'm trying to prove, but yes, baby aspirin, it's the stem cells. That must be it. She's got something there, I will say that.
So, Dr. Berger, the last part of her message was stating that she was quoting Trump that there would be a viable vaccine against COVID-19 the first week of November. Also, I saw a report from Dr. Fauci where he said that vaccines for COVID-19 may be available at that time, but probably we're looking at mid-year 2021 for COVID-19 vaccine. My question to you, Dr. Berger, is there a viable vaccine at this time for COVID-19?
Ooh, well, that is a good question, and it all deals with the science of reality. So what is going on now is that any person with, I would going to say, maybe about 8 months of education after birth would know that there has been trials. Will it be available? Perhaps this November? No way. But I will say that there has been what you call a capitalistic journey to be the first person to create this glorious vaccine that's going to leave, a little video camera in your rectum to stay for the rest of your life so that your government can look up your bum and tell you you have polyps. But I will say, to answer the question, that the vaccine will probably be available sooner than later, merely for I'm going to say the monetary gain, so that everybody could have the beer drinking hat like I have from my colleagues. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But Dr. Berger, will this vaccine contain any alien DNA or demon seed as proposed by a series of doctors last month?
Well, I will say this. It has to all deal with the science of autofellatio. So what it is people are trying to get themselves so pumped up, and I use the term pump loosely. So they pump themselves up, they pump. What it's going to leave inside is not necessarily the demon sperm. Although you may feel a bit salty afterwards, because it will affect your mood, as most vaccines do because of crystals and essential oil interventions. So what I will say is that if this vaccine does come out, I'm not going to say demon sperm, although having sex with Baphomet may be a hallucination that is kind of, I guess, a side effect from it. I will say that.
And Dr. Berger, there have been many reports from unvalidated sources that these said vaccines will contain a microchip. I know you just spoke of rectal cameras, but is it possible, Dr. Berger, are the vaccines microchipped?
Well, this all deals with the science of the Patriot Act that was passed by James Madison of 1625, I think if I remember my American history correctly. So what happened is James Madison wrote in the Emancipation Proclamation before entering the War of 1812 that this microchip is only for people who they deem important or they deem that their lives are worthy to be recorded. For example, for the people that are continuously... For the people that are continuously watching the adult porn on their computer, the microchip is only going to be inserted that way your FBI agent can watch the porn with you. If your life consists of going online and looking at panda YouTube videos, your FBI agent is not going to microchip you. Although I applaud all the people who believe that they are worthy of such a microchip from a vaccine, that their lives are just so much tons of fun that they are going to get that microchip. So to answer your question, no. Nine, they are not going to microchip. This is not some inner space Dennis Quaid type of effect movie from Hollywood. Nine, no.
Now, Dr. Berger, a lot of things have been happening in the past 2 weeks. Let's talk about the upcoming election. Now, we have just heard that Joe Biden has accepted the Democratic nomination for president and his vice president, Kamala Harris. We have also heard that Trump himself has encouraged people of South Carolina to vote twice, once by mail, the other in person. Dr. Berger, my serious question to you is, isn't that illegal?
It all has to do with the science of the hypocrisy. Many, many moons ago in ancient China, there was Hippocrates. And he started sharing information about selling baby parts in the Planned Parenthood of ancient China. And it transferred over to Nepal, where Indiana Jones was able to get the gold piece with the crystal in the center and perform for Raiders of the Lost Ark. This is a story that's been going on long before. Perhaps he is trying to bring it again to light. Of course, we have to take into consideration that these words, yes, these actions, yes, they are illegal, as far as I understand with the American politics. But of course, should not be a surprise for people who have listened to everything that he has mentioned from the beginning of his campaign. Back in, 2016. So, yes, it is very illegal. And it is pretty much saying that whatever you all were complaining about many, many years ago up to this point, just go ahead and do it and prove that it can be false. Prove that it is illegal by doing it yourself because, you know, you can get away with it. Yeah. Very legal.
So, Dr. Berger, let's talk about what's going on right now with the United States Postal Service. There has been a new postmaster general appointed by Trump, and said postmaster has been downsizing the scope and the ability of the United States Postal Service by turning off machines, taking sorting machines out, taking away just standard mailboxes. Why do you think he's doing that, Dr. Berger?
And this all has to deal with the science of Mr. Magoo. We all remember Mr. Magoo walking around on the cartoons with no eyes, not seeing where he's going, completely blind until somebody yells at him or he gets surprised like, oh, I did something wrong or, oh, I'm stupid. So, you know, this all has to deal with Mr. Magoo. We have this bald man, and I'm not surprised he's not part of the Goldman Sachs because they sure are popping up everywhere in the past 4 years. Anyhow, so Mr. Magoo, who wants to run the Postal Service while simultaneously having a company of his own that battles with the Post Service, which I'm not too keen on verbiage or American verbiage or English verbiage, however, but I love vegetables. The verbiage that I'm looking for is, what is that? A conflict of interest, perhaps, or interests that are conflicting? But of course, someone is going to say, oh, but this is America, this is, you can do everything, and not expect to get repercussions or be responsible for your actions. So this Magoo, I guess I can say it now since we're talking about the science of Magoo. This Mr. Magoo is just walking blindly as a friend of the hotelier-in-chief. All his friends there are focused on one thing, making themselves money, making themselves richer, and people are losing their jobs. People are not able to raise their children to be social because they're all stuck at home on their computers rather than playing outside and becoming social with other children. Yes, Mr. Magoo has problems and is just another blind man who has been elected into a chair which he knows nothing about just to play along and make more money for himself.
And Dr. Berger, let's talk about a very serious situation that is illegal narcotics in the United States and across the globe. This has been a terrorist war since the beginning. Millions of people are affected either by becoming addicted or by running drugs. My question to you, Dr. Berger, in all seriousness, how much cocaine did Don Jr. have before he gave his RNC speech?
This is a very, very good question. And this all has to deal with the science of the opioid crisis. The crisis was in plain view. It is the rich that are creating this crisis. As you know, our turtle friend, Cocaine Mitch, he hasn't been in the limelight very much because he's probably supplying the cocaine across the nation. So I would say that perhaps he maybe had two lines of good white powder from the coca leaf in Colombia. That is the opioid problem. It's this vicious circle of all these poor people that are fighting for these rich people to make them money and have them appear on the RNC full of cocaine, shiny glass eyes and mouths agape, spitting nonsense as loudly as they can in front of an audience of zero. So to answer your question, I would say he probably had about 4 8-balls and 2 lines of snow, followed by a hit of some hydro and formaldehyde.
And a side note, Dr. Berger, would this type of narcotic use cause microstrokes?
That is a very good question. And it all has to deal with the science of hemorrhaging. So we know about the cocaine. It made you look very pretty in the 80s with your curly hair and the long fingernail on the pinkies of the hands. And so what happens here with the cocaine, when the cocaine enters the cavity of the nose, several things could happen. And several things do happen. We all know about the beautiful nosebleeds. We see them in the movies. So with the cocaine, when they insert it in either on their gums or they inhale it through their nose into their lungs, the heart rate goes up. So when the heart rate goes up, it starts pumping this blood faster and faster and faster. And then, of course, with the heart rate going up, there's a slight probability that the blood pressure may go up because you're not hemorrhaging out. The blood is the vasculature of the body, the capillaries and arteries and veins. I went to school for that. When the vessels are in the heart, they go pumpy, 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 pumpy. And all these pumps of these small capillaries, the pressure can get so high, depending, like our friends that had the 4 8-ball, 2 lines of coke and formaldehyde bump, these small little capillaries can burst. However, millions of capillaries always burst when we walk, when we fall. That's what's called bruising. But of course, the microstrokes, they can happen all the time. However, it is a pitiful excuse for insanity, because no one that's had minor strokes is insane. Perhaps they are debilitated in a sense, but they are not insane. With our friend of the 4 8-balls and 2 lines of coke and formaldehyde bump, it has been proven that his insanity has grown from inception of childhood and earlier, when he said it himself in an interview that his father told him not to trust anybody. And when his father said, "You could trust me," and he trusted his father, that was the proven insanity, that he trusted his father. And his father totally messed his life up. And he said it himself, and he was told by his father, "You don't trust anyone."
And lastly, on the subject of illegal narcotics, hero and fallen EMT Breonna Taylor, once again we will say her name, Breonna Taylor, who was killed by law enforcement entering her apartment while she was asleep in July. There is a report from NPR that there is a man who is a drug suspect. His plea deal, Dr. Berger, is that he will get a good deal from prison prison or whatever they have doing if he names Breonna Taylor as a co-defendant in an alleged criminal gang. Dr. Berger, when they raided her apartment, they found no evidence of drug trafficking. She had no history of drug trafficking, according to court documents. The police did not find any evidence of any kind of narcotic deal, with the exception of her boyfriend, last name Glover, was found with 4.2 ounces of cocaine and 10 units of opiates. Dr. Berger, how can this plea deal happen in the state of Kentucky by law enforcement?
Well, this is a very, very deep question. And this all has to deal with the science of horse manure. And this manure, when it lays thick, it gets a stench. And you can smell that stench that comes so thick that you could smell it through the screen that you read the story from on your laptop. You can read it from your phone, is that it's absolute manure. I remember, don't know if it was October of last year or almost to the day, the same day that the story is coming out, there was a gentleman by the name of Bottom Jean, I want to say, that he was murdered in his own apartment in Dallas by a cop by the name of Amber Geiger, I want to say. So, you know, there's a lot of, what's the word I want to look for? Everyone wants to be a creative writer and a creative storyteller, because we all know our friend Aesop. And we all know our friend Dr. Doolittle, who bring about all these lively stories about creatures with voices and monsters with heart. And that's what the story is that we're trying to give these people this story that they are evil and bad people, while the monsters get this lovely story about how they dance with the lady in the yellow dress and they have this red rose inside a glass case that, you know, it reminds them of their youth, that they are not a beast, but they are just a misunderstood man. But in this particular situation, it sounds like we are dealing with a lot of beasts who don't like the bell, I guess I could say. And they want the bell story to disappear. That way the beast can look out like a hero and all the spotlight and the fabulous red rose inside the glass case could be untouched and not messed with. So what we have here, as I said, is the horse manure. Our friend, the horse, is just poopy along. It found this person that's related to Belle, but the beast has them. So the beast wants to tell his side of the story, and he wants Belle to just completely disappear as, quote unquote, the bad Belle that she is.
I understand. And once again, we want to say her name, Breonna Taylor. Justice for Breonna. This week, Donald Trump stated that left-wing protesters were throwing cans of soup at authorities, as well as bags of soup. There is no evidence of such a souping, but I was wondering, Dr. Berger, is it possible to use a can of soup as artillery, and is there any evidence that it has been used in the past?
This is a very, very good question, and it all has to deal with the science of processed foods. Now, we all remember back in our youth about this food fight, and it is on TV, and it is in movies. Perhaps one of the best movies, Animal House, I want to say, is the name. So there was about a food fight. Yes, that's a good movie. So this throwing or this drive-by souping, I'm amazed that America would think that's a bad thing, because they find joy in food fights, you know? But I suppose it must have been like super creamy, chunky clam chowder, you know, the expensive kind of soup that could have been given to something better, rather than the tasteless tomato soup that's just plain and it's about, what, 25 cents on the dollar. Yes, perhaps they were throwing the chunky soup. Do we know what kind of soup was being thrown, or they just said soup?
We don't know what kind, sir, but it was stated that it was cans and it was bags. Dr. Berger, my question is, where does one obtain a bag of soup?
Oh, the bag of soup. Oh, this all has to deal with the science of the Great Depression. Back in the, I want to say, the 1930s of America, everything or a lot of things came in the bags. And I know there used to be milk in the bags. I don't know if there was prophylactics for sex in a bag. I do know that there was a lot of things in the bag because of the need for to donate a tin aluminum or whatever, whatnot for the war effort. And of course, people were poor. They probably couldn't couldn't afford even metal. So bags of soup, that's really, really off-putting, because I'm trying to think where they would get the soup unless they saved it from the depression, that their grandmother and grandfather saved non-perishable soup in a bag, which would make no sense because a bag is not like a tin can. It does not keep the soup fresh. So I want to ask, this soup that's being thrown, was it fresh? Was it a bisque? Lobster, perhaps not, because that's just too expensive. However, to answer your question about soup in a bag, I will say that non-existent. Yeah, I can't. You got me there, as they say in the States of United. You got me there.
A 17-year-old Trump supporter allegedly shot and killed two protesters in the city of Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Mm.
And a third was injured. Dr. Berger, how does a 17-year-old get a hold of a semi-automatic weapon? And why was said child not arrested until the next day?
Ooh, this is a good question. And it all has to deal with the science of youth. This is not the only story we hear about the youth in the news. What is the little girl, I want to say, she is from Europe. She went to the UN Council and she said, how dare you? And she started raising big, big to-do about climate, right? And then we had the children of Florida who banded together because they didn't like being shot at in their schools. Of course, these children that only raised their voices were just told that they were spoiled and they need to shut up and they need to grow up and they need to go back to school and just deal with it and stop being a pain in the bum. However, now we have a youth who carries a semi-automatic rifle, past police officers who offered him, apparently, from what I've read in the story, they offered him some water, they gave him a warm welcome, and so he was able to walk with this gun, and I want to say he probably didn't know what he was getting into, but he felt, I guess I want to say from what I view from his demeanor, is that he was there to defend something. And at 17 years old, we all have something very important to defend, yeah? Who's given this power with a pistol. Not even so much a pistol. It was a huge gun. It was an automatic rifle. And of course, everyone has a story. The story that he shot people in self-defense. But the fact still states is that this was a youth that was provided power and people died. I want to say, when the Greta girl went to the UN, I can't remember anyone dying physically. Perhaps someone died emotionally. I am unaware of anything. And then when the children of Florida talked about that they don't want to be shot in schools, the only people that died were the children that were already shut down. What youth do we not want to have power versus the youth we want to have power? And how do they get that power if they are youth? And there are laws about youth not being able to get cigarettes. I know for a while they didn't want to get the vape pens because, you know, when the children vape, we're back to having sex with Baphomet. They get the hallucinations about having sex with Satan. And they get the power of, you know, Ecclesiastes 22:7. I don't know. But anyhow, the point is that children are given power by the adults that surround them. So I'd say we have a big to-do. And we've got to ask ourselves, if the youth is so spoiled and they're given too much power, why are we not raising issues about this child having too much power compared to a girl from Europe who's simply raising her voice about climate change?
Which brings us, Dr. Berger, to an interview that senior advisor Kellyanne Conway gave on Fox and Friends. She stated, and I quote, the more chaos and anarchy and vandalism and violence reigns, the better it is for the very clear choice on who's the best on public safety and law and order. It has been reported that President Trump is being referred to, a campaign slogan, if you will, the law and order president. But Dr. Berger, isn't that creating chaos in order to solve it? What is going on with the law and order president?
This is a very good question. And it all has to deal with the science of falsities. I remember, and in the heated campaigns of two parties and, of course, two other parties in 2016, there was this big to-do that was brought to the main stage about law and order. Not only the show, which was a great show. I prefer the SUV. But Law and Order was very good. But I remember distinctly someone claiming that they would be law and order and they would take care of it all by themselves. And we had 4 years to do something all by yourself. And here we are. The law and order is present. However, one has to define what this law and order is and who is this law and order for? Who's the benefit for and who is the maleficence for? This term or this concept of law and order, it's a beautiful thing to vocally vomit, but you've got to support it. You've got to make sure that the law and order is something that benefits everyone and not something that destroys one group of people to make another group happy and satisfied that no one's benefiting, but the only benefit is that you're hurting the people that I hate. And that's not law and order. That is spite and stupidity.
And Dr. Berger, speaking of current events, on Saturday, September 5th, there was a Trump rally with boats at Lake Travis in Austin County, Texas. Now, these boats, there were said to have been 600. I don't have an accurate count, but it is reported that 5 were submerged in water and 2 sank and 3 had to be towed out. Now, there was one tweet that I won't state the person who said that they were there and it was obviously a terrorist attack. Dr. Berger, can a boat sink without terrorist activity?
This is a very, very good question. And I'm glad you brought this up because it all deals with the science of astrological intervention on marine life and marine science. So with the terrorists, now that we've moved past the full moon of Pisces, you know, Pisces are fishies. So the fishies are, you know, they're full of life and they're going to kill everything in sight. So what I will say is that Poseidon, who is a big part of Antifa, did not like all these 800 boats on top of his water. So what he did is he told his army of fishies in Lake Travis, he said, you minnows, you go that way. You piranha fish, you go that way. And the red herring, you stay here. I have to talk to you. You've been a bad boy, red herring. And the salmon, and the eels, and the little goldfish, all of you, press on and press forward. I guess you can say is that with Poseidon, he brought a blue wave on top of these boats, but I mean, we cannot know the numbers, because technically the numbers of boat sinking is going to rise if we keep counting the number of boats. That's why we shouldn't do the COVID. Don't take tests. Don't count the boats that sink. If we count zero as the boats, no boats sink. That's how this works. Silly people. So with the apparent terrorist interventionist, or this one who claims terrorism, is that there were a lot of boats on this lake. I'm not too sure how big this lake is, but if it sounds like there were 800 boats on the lake, there's got to be a lot of what's called down in the water. It's called wake. I know that when boats move, they create wave. Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't that also happen when fish move on the surface or we swim on the surface? We create the ripple of waves in the water. I could be wrong in my assessment, but with all those boats parading, and in a parade you move, not so much stand still, because if you stand still in a parade, it's not a parade, it's just on standing still. So if all these boats were moving with their little prerogatives of having a parade, of course there's going to be waves and there's going to be actions. I guess we could say Poseidon was the terrorist, along with the little minnows and goldfish, but not the red herring. The red herring had to stay with Poseidon. He was a bad boy. But yes, with these boats, I feel for the boats, because the boats didn't ask to go and be ridden in the water. But of course, I'm sure that all of them had the insurance to cover the boat, and they can all get the money to get the machinery necessary to go to the bottom of Lake Travis to get those boats. It would be an awful pity to leave all that metal and all that plastic at the bottom of Lake Travis, destroying Texas water, because where people, you know, down here, they say, don't mess with Texas.
And finally, Dr. Berger, let's talk about a very serious situation going on regarding two quotes from Donald Trump regarding our American heroes. First is regarding what Trump said about going to a cemetery to pay respects. He was quoted as saying, why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers. In a separate conversation on the same trip, Trump referred to the 1,800 Marines who lost their lives at the Belleau Woods battle as suckers for getting killed. Dr. Berger, our men and women that fight in our armed forces are heroes. They give everything that they can, and they're referred to by the commander in as losers and suckers. Dr. Berger, first off, there have been some that have stated that this wasn't the case, that he did not say it, but let's also turn to his comments about John McCain. He likes war heroes that weren't captured. Do you think, Dr. Berger, that Trump stated, and to conglomerate his quotes, that American veterans are losers and suckers?
That's a very good question. And this all deals with the science of small dick energy, like the kids are talking about with racism today. There's a wonderful quote by a very, very beautiful woman, Maya Angelou. Perhaps if you've gone to school at least 5 seconds after birth, you'd know who this lady is. She had a wonderful quote saying, "When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time." I can honestly say that this person has shown us who he is from the, as the kids say, from the jump. We, a few people have met him back in the 80s, in the time of, as you had mentioned, the cocaine and the cartels and all the fun times, the old Mickey, you're so fine time. So when this person shows you who they are, you have to believe them. And you had the opportunity to believe him. And some people made the opportunity to call it sarcasm. And some people had the opportunity to call it not what he meant to say. And here we have another punch to the face. Now, you can call it a punch to the face, or you can merely call it a love tap. Simply put, it's a punch to the face. So this, and technically, if these veterans are suckers, if these veterans are losers, I'm surprised there are not more people speaking out against this, because this brings to mind a very well-known individual who got a lot of attention back in 2004. There was a gentleman by the name of Patrick Daniel Tillman Jr. I don't know if the children of today know who this man is, but he was a very good player of the football, of American football, I guess I could say, and he wanted to support the United States by fighting in the war from September 11th. It's the war that's still going on up to this day, I will say. But by logic, he is calling Patrick Tillman a sucker and a loser. That's not very nice. Of course, there are many other people that have died at war. There were many children, I guess you could say, that were sent to Vietnam who never made it back. And there were a lot of children sent in the September 11th war that never came back. It's very heart-wrenching is that for a person who expects to make military parades or who gloats about wanting to have a military parade across the White House, across New York, across Washington, D.C., he would call this military that he wants to show to the world, he calls them losers and suckers. Well, I don't know if that's the best way to win the respects of the military. Of course, we have military men that have served for him now. But again, I haven't heard from many people that are in any kind of government entity or situations. We should be hearing more about this nonsense. It's just pure nonsense and pure reality television. This is what happens when reality television takes over the White House. It becomes a mockery. It becomes a parade of absolute clowns. To answer your question, which of course I may have said more than what I should have said, is that with this quote of calling veterans suckers and losers, that's very poor taste, and it really brings out the reality of all these people that say they support their military or the men and women across the ocean fighting for freedom. He's basically calling these fighters of freedom suckers and losers, and I would love to enjoy to see what the people that support their military have to say about this person that they quote unquote voted for law and order to MAGA, make America great again.
And we here at the COVID Catch-Up do support the men and women in our armed forces. They are not suckers. They are not losers. They are all heroes, veterans, active duty. Thank you for your service. Now, Dr. Berger, there's going to be so much coming up with the election in less than 60 days. I was wondering, can we count on you next week? We're going to need to talk about what's happened after Labor Day with the COVID spread and also the election, and also who knows what new and fun things the commander-in-chief has to say. Will you join us then?
Of course. We must carry on in the name of the science, and I look forward to having more call-ins. That was fun. She was a real peppy firecracker, like they say down here in the Texas. And I've noticed all firecrackers usually end up in hospital beds, but good for her for calling in, just sticking to her guns, which I'm sure she has many of, and bringing that question all in the name of science. Absolutely. I applaud that.
Dr. Berger, thank you for being with us on the COVID Catch-Up.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Bye.
This has been Elocution with your host, Ello Black.
And a very special thank you to the voice talents of actress Julie Lenard for this episode.